We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. And all month long, we have been airing from the spectacular offices of Gray, Gray, and Gray. And I'm not just saying they're spectacular. I mean they are.
They're really nice. I just hung out
in the kitchen. It's got a bar area. I made you an espresso.
Call it more of a cafe.
The cafe. I made Peter an espresso shot in his coffee this morning.
It was really good. And I've been savoring it, actually.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, people come by, that you say hi to them. I met the managing partner.
Yep.
I said hi to him. I met another partner. It was a little bit unkempt.
Well, actually, in all seriousness, because I know we like to tease a little bit, that was why we designed it this way, as a gathering area for clients and friends of the firm and staff. They'll come out and see each other.
It's great. It's just a great little area.
It's a terrific format. It really is.
You can't come into the building and not go through that area. You can't go to the bathroom and not go through that
that's
area.
That's right.
It's all
by design.
By design. So that's very good. But again, that's Rich Hershen, our host at Gray, Gray, and Gray, and also our reporter for the show, who's been beside me through the whole month. Thank you very much, Rich.
My pleasure.
And our next guest is we'll call him small business reporter, Peter Morrison from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Morrison & Plaut. And, you know, despite, you know, mixed opinions, I love the next topic we're going to bring up. And that's a topic I love to think about.
Yeah, well, the next topic is really something that hit the newspapers once again. And it is about the 0.03% chance that every New England Patriot fan would take an even money bet on, which is whether or not federal court will rehear his motion to dispose of. The NFL.
Well, I'll jump in right away.
Yeah,
I hope so. You know, people say, "Oh, Brady can lose because this is a." I don't think he loses, because even if he doesn't get this appeal, he'll take it to a higher court. And I think what Brady's trying to do is, this is the perfect example of what you don't see a lot in business, and that is the small individual taking on corporate America. And exercising individual rights over corporate rights.
Yeah,
and I think a corporation has exercised too much power.
And I love to see that. I really do.
As an attorney, you love seeing that. As an individual.
I love to see it as an individual. I mean, I think big business is really hard on employees in many ways. And this is a good example. I mean, this is an example, if you look at it objectively, that Goodell and the NFL exercised an enormous amount of power and kind of beat Brady up. And he's just not going to sit and take it, even though his options are very limited.
But he can appeal if he loses this and go to a higher court. He can go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. But the chances of, I mean, look, you know, the chances of his succeeding at any of these levels is very, very low. I mean, if you look at, I mean, the Supreme Court takes 100 cases a year. What is interesting about this case, if he gets denied at the federal court level?
Well, as I said, does he lose? The Players Association, which signed a horrible deal with the NFL, has been embarrassed through this whole thing, is never going to sign this type of deal ever again with the owners.
So ever.
I think that's what he's doing. He's protecting all the players in football and their right to protect themselves. He's not just protecting himself. He's protecting all players, and people don't realize that and talk about that subject.
Well, but I think that's one of the important subjects. The fact is that, the collective bargaining agreement, which is what this all revolves around, basically, you know, the courts are going to, not interfere with whatever that collective bargaining agreement.
Because it was a contract.
Because it's a contract. And what this really, you know, one of the things that, you know, entrepreneurs should understand is that a contract is a contract. And the cost, you enter into a collective bargaining agreement so you don't end up with litigation. And look what's happened. I mean, can you imagine what the costs of this litigation are? It's enough to, you know, feed a small country for years and years.
And you know what? I do think that Goodell suffers more from this than Brady does. And I've heard some reporters talk about Goodell and his vacation home in Maine. I don't think Brady. I think Brady can walk the streets and do whatever he wants and live his life. I think Goodell is in the guise of representing all these owners, who are hiding behind Goodell, he's jeopardized his own personal life in a lot of ways. And I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying it's not a good position for Goodell to be in either. He's caught in between an employer himself who's forcing him to do something, which I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of employers say to me, even as a management consultant, you go do this if you work here. And I go, I can't do that. But he can't do that. And, you know, he's getting paid a lot of money, but he's got his own family security that he's going to have to watch out for the rest of his life.
I don't subscribe to that view at all. I mean, he's making whatever it is,
20 50, to 40 million.
$50 million a year.
That he's had threats in, I'm saying threats in his vacation home in Maine.
That's only because it's in Maine. What he'll do is sell Maine.
He should move out of New England.
Move out of New England.
Yeah,
know?
Go to Texas. He'll be a hero.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody outside of New England believes that Brady is guilty of something.
Right.
I mean, and so
I think less than they did a year ago. I think now they're more angry at the NFL.
Well, I think they're angry at the NFL for a variety of reasons. I mean, they've allowed this to go on and on.
And I think sometimes the football aspect of this case has overshadowed it, deflated balls doesn't make a difference. It's really a business law case at the end of the day. And that's what Brady's fighting for.
Right.
And that's, I think, what's interesting from the legal perspective. It's not the football. I think a four-game suspension is ridiculous for football. It's not about football.
But, you know, I worked for a Fortune 500 company, 1979, whatever it was, 78. And during my review, I was told, because I had a bad back back then, that I had rubber-soled shoes for comfort, that if I didn't wear leather shoes, I was going to get fired. You know, it's this indiscriminate, arbitrary use of power from big corporations. And I think, you know, he didn't have a warning, which bothers me. You know, even if he did something wrong, you give an employee a warning. There was no warning. There was nothing like that. It wasn't clear. And also, you know, the other thing about Brady, he didn't really abide by the collective bargaining agreement. I think he was one of the players who actually didn't sign in to be part of it.
You know,
he opted out.
I'm not sure of that. But I mean, in terms of, I mean, the unfairness aspect of this really is that I think the punishment for tampering with equipment in the NFL is a financial fine of, I don't know, $5,000 or $6,000. I mean, it's not a suspension. And so I think
a quarter of a season.
Plus $1 million fine to the organization.
Well,
and
plus losing draft choice.
People who have done violent acts didn't get penalized like him.
Yeah, but you know, if you
they should be penalized. Look at watch the movie Concussion.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's talking about how this, you know, affects the integrity of the game, you know, this Brady dialogue. And, you know, what they're not talking about are the concussions or the use of, you know, PEDs. I mean, think about how ironic that is.
Well, and I think the NFL likes it. They probably prefer to have Brady on.
Absolutely. It distracts from what's the real issue.
Right. When I saw the movie Concussion, I was, you know, it's a disgusting movie. It was, you know, and they compared the NFL to the tobacco companies in the movie. And I don't think the movie did not feel like a gross exaggeration.
No, it was a great movie. Anybody out there who hasn't seen it should go see
it. Have you seen it, Rich?
I have not, but I will this weekend.
It took me half an hour to realize that the lead character was, what's his name?
I know what you mean.
I just didn't recognize him. I mean, the performance was so unbelievable.
And he didn't get nominated, which I understand why the Academy Awards had an issue.
Absolutely.
African Americans, why blacks weren't nominated. And then my first thought, which I told you when I saw you privately, was maybe the NFL didn't want him to get the nomination because they didn't want the movie to get that kind of exposure.
I think you did say that. And I hadn't really thought about it quite that cynically, but I think that is not an off-the-wall kind of thought.
Well, when the NFL is one of the largest advertisers in the country, I'm sure they have influence in areas that we can't even imagine.
Oh, I do subscribe to the conspiracy theories generally.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, you know, so you...
Trump's from Mars.
Who?
Trump's from Mars.
Trump's, yeah, okay.
Not all.
I don't want to go there yet. That'll be the next show.
That's your wife's conspiracy theory. No, but back to Brady. I think this is an important case for anyone who works for a large corporation, anyone who plays for leagues. I mean, the baseball players have different protections, much better than the NFL players. The NFL players, by reputation, have never had the same protection as other leagues. They don't have salary protection the way other leagues do, and that's just the way they negotiated the deal. The NFL teams were more powerful.
But they've negotiated those deals forever. I mean, you know, my friend. I'm not going to mention his name on air.
I know your friend.
Who won the
two Super Bowl rings.
And you know, they can't get a, with rare exception, they can't get a fixed salary for a whole year. You look at what's happened to Amendola. I mean, you know, the guy's a star, and they cut his salary by 2/3 or 3/4 or whatever it was because they can do that. Right. You have a 5-year contract.
You can sign a contract and then
break. Who has a 5-year contract? Right. You know, I mean, what kind of illusion is that?
Well, I had that problem also in business before I had my consulting firm, where I had a 3-year contract with a company and they broke it, and their attitude was, "You want to have some fun, Jeff? Let's go fight."
Yeah, well, it's about the
and
big.
It's about money and power again.
It's about money and power again. You know, it's really a fascinating kind of issue.
But he's still agreeing. You know, in Amendola's case, he's still agreeing to that contract. He can decline it and become a free agent, right?
Well,
he doesn't have to restructure it.
Sure, no, and I agree with that. But the point is that, you know, he'd rather be assured of playing for $1.5 million than have to go out in the free market.
That's the choice he's making.
Right.
Well, but that's because of the way the bargaining agreements are, though.
But that's an interesting case, which is, I think,
he'd rather,
he could get cut this year because it's so competitive at that position, but he'd rather play for Brady and maybe catch 50 passes and take a chance of getting cut than maybe move to St. Louis or Los Angeles and get 20 passes and be on a lousy team. He wants to win a Super Bowl at this point of his career because that's the legacy that they've been playing for their whole lives. Every football player wants to win a Super Bowl. Every baseball player wants to win a World Series. And if you want to win a Super Bowl, you go play for the Denver Broncos, like a lot of players did a few years ago, or you go play for, in the old days, Indianapolis, or you go play for the Patriots. You want to win a Super Bowl at the end of your career.
It's a fascinating look at what people are motivated by.
People who have won a Super Bowl leave the Super Bowl teams to then sign a big contract with the secondary teams.
Sure,
so
because
it works both ways.
They won the Super Bowl and then they want the money.
Then they want their money.
Right.
So a lot of Patriot players leave after the Super Bowl, sign a huge check, don't love where they're playing, but they love the check. And the Patriots endorse that.
Well, because the Patriots aren't going to pay money out, big money out.
No, but they also endorse players at the end of their career who have paid their dues to the Patriots. They facilitate their movement to the big paycheck. It's a halfway house for them.
Well, I don't know. I think it's all a calculation that, you know, it's sort of like the John Henry calculation on pitchers. You know, you get to be 30 years old, and how much longer can you play? And do you really want to pay a guy for 5 years?
You know, I say the same thing to my son. My son's in business. As you know, he works for a big institution. He's not in business. He's a therapist. And he loves his job. But I said to him, you know what? You might not love your job in 25 years. And he said, why? I said, because some CFO is going to see your salary in 25 years and realize that he can replace you with 2 or 3 people.
Well, I mean, but
that's business.
That's business.
And Rich knows better than anybody. He's, you know, he's an advisor.
Why, did he play baseball?
No, he's an accountant at the corporations.
Not football either.
And I'm sure they look at the balance sheet a lot of times, and he looks at salary ratios versus the top line, and he says it's too high.
Then you have to make decisions of what's best for the company. That company's feeding numerous families and providing for those families, so you have to do what's best for the company. And that's kind of how the Patriots have done. You know, they've looked at it, what's best for the New England Patriots. Not for the individuals.
But don't you think the NFL looks at it the same way?
Cruelly.
Yeah. Yes,
cruelly.
I think that's the point. But Rich is basically saying, in the reality of our world, this is the way I interpret Rich is saying, in the reality of our world, it is survival of the fittest. We have to make tough decisions. And even the NFL's had to make tough decisions, too, to make sure that the league grows and prospers and gets more money for its owners and its players. And these are the decisions it's made to exist, and I think that's their argument. But some of these decisions are appearing to be somewhat extreme now. Helmets, concussions, player rights, they're a little bit extreme to protect the league and make the league profitable.
And the PEDs. I mean,
right. PEDs,
you know, don't ever
ridiculous.
Forget. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right, and some of these players who were taking, you know, drugs are not going to live the lives that hopefully the three of us are going to live in terms of the full extension that we can get out of it.
No, it's absolutely true.
But if you're in college and you know you're not going to make a career, You're going to maybe be a, you know, do some kind of labor job.
And a lawyer.
You're a Division A team.
Accountant.
You're like 90% of all Division A players, Peter. You're at the end of your college career, and you know you're probably never going to make it to the NFL. And you know if you don't make it to the NFL, you're probably going to have a career of somewhat of a disability anyway, and probably not be able to support your family the way you want to. Are you going to take a PED at 22 years old that could put you over that edge and make you an NFL player and get you wealth and wealth for your family for life?
I mean, I get the temptation. You know, I mean, these people have invested so much in their careers and working so hard at it. It's such a small, small percentage of the people that become successful and make the millions of dollars. It could be very tempting, but the rules are the rules, and it's decisions people need to make.
But I think that's the NFL's position here, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
And you signed an agreement. I mean, we've been really talking around, you know, the collective bargaining agreement issue here, which is this is a fascinating conversation.
I want Brady to keep going.
I do, too.
For the good of all football. I think it's good for all of football.
I think it's good for society as a whole, frankly.
Right.
I mean, I really do think there's a societal issue here. So.
Well, I always knew you felt that way. So if somebody wants to find you, do-gooder attorney.
Tom Brady might be looking for someone else.
I don't think
he's going to replace Ted Olson with me.
Yeah,
I think
Peter's a talented guy, but
yourself short.
I don't think he's making Peter's. I don't think he's making Brady's dream team.
You never know. Yeah. Give out your contact information just in case Tom's
listening. Yeah, just in case Tom's listening.
Hey, Tom. So you can reach me at pmeyerson@crmllp.com, or you can call my direct dial, which is 617-742-2255.
And speak to the best legal assistant in Boston, Mrs. Meyerson.
Mrs. Meyerson.
With that note, not his mother. With that note, Rich Hershen from Gray and I, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.